This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
Well, welcome to everybody. My name is Kirsten Wainer. I'm a senior curator here at the National Museum, and it's really a great pleasure for me to welcome you today to the museum, and particularly to welcome Elena Katz-Chernin, our composer and performer for today. So, as I said, it's a great pleasure to welcome Elena back to the museum. Back in 2008, the museum started to think about commissioning a composer to create a piece responding to the museum, to its collections and to its exhibitions. And we were very lucky to persuade Elena to take on that job. And she created a piece called Garden of Dreams, which was premiered here at the museum for the first time in May 2009. So it's about a year, and the Canberra International Music Festival has come around again. So we thought this was a lovely opportunity to have Elena come back and try a little bit of an experiment for the museum. This is the first time we've actually had an occasion like this where we have someone perform music in the gallery spaces. So we'll see how it goes. There might be a few interesting sounds floating around during the performance, but I think we'll all cope. So I'm sure, as many of you know, Elena is one of really Australia's premier composers, born in Russia originally and trained in Russia and in Germany and in Australia. I think one of the really amazing things about Elena, what makes her such a great fit for the museum, is the way in which she's worked in such a wide variety of medium, composing music obviously for orchestral performance within a traditional concert performance, but also working extensively in theatre, in dance, working with Meryl Tankard, one of our wonderful choreographers, doing music for silent film, and also, I think, for the Sydney Olympics and the 2003 Rugby World Cup, which is, I think, an amazing fit. Very interesting wide range of work. And so we were really pleased when Elena could bring the museum also into her range of composition and performance. We'll have to see. We'll have to do an evaluation later to see how it measures up against the World Cup. I don't know. As I said, when we last year talked to Elena about composing a piece for the museum, one of the things we asked her to do was to respond in some way to the collection, the museum's collection. And the piece that she created, Garden of Dreams, included two movements that were very particularly responsive to parts of the museum's National Historical Collection. One of them was actually these objects, which are just behind me here, which I hope you can see. These are convict love tokens. That is, they are tokens that were created by convicts who were about to be transported to Australia. When someone in the United Kingdom was convicted of something like stealing a handkerchief or highway robbery or treason, they were, after being convicted in the court, they were held often at Newgate Jail before being loaded onto a ship to be taken to the Australian colonies. Many of those convicts, while they were sitting down in Newgate Jail, spent time making what are now called love tokens and what in the 19th century were often called leaden hearts. Convicts would take a penny, a cartwheel penny, which was a large, quite soft penny, and beat it flat and erase the picture of the sovereign and the design on the other side and replace it with a small message of remembrance and love. I don't know if they also knew that actually removing the face of the sovereign from a penny was itself a felony. So I think maybe they thought that, you know, they didn't really mind too much anymore and it was just they were going anyway, so it may as well go with it. But I think one of these, I mean, these objects are incredibly touching now because they are often the only objects we have left that relate to, if you like, the convicts themselves, their own personal experience of being transported to Australia. They would have taken the penny, smoothed it off, and either stippled or engraved it. Engraving, as you know, is cutting into a piece of metal with a sharp tool. Stippling is creating a pattern by taking something like a nail and hitting it with a hammerhead. And I mentioned stippling particularly because I think Elena responded particularly to stippling. And in the piece she's about to play, listen out for the stippling. I think you can hear it quite well. So they created these pennies and wrote messages really for their loved ones, and then they left those pennies with people in England before they were actually transported to Australia. I thought I would just read you just a couple of them because they're really quite moving, I think. Many of them are quite standard. They say things like, when this you see, remember me and bear me in your mind. Let all the world say what they will, speak of me as you find. Others are much more personal. We can actually tell that they're from very particular convicts to members of their family. For example, there's one that is marked from Charles Tonks to his wife, Esther Tonks. It says, may God bless and protect you and the child. Live long and die happy in the sincere prayer of your unhappy husband. Do not forget me, though lost to your sight, and to roam far away be my doom. Still my thoughts are with you by day and by night, and will be till I land in my tomb. It's very touching. I always choke up. And I think there's something in Elena's music that I think it would be very interesting to keep those little kind of ideas in your mind as we listen to the piece. So, Elena, I don't know if you would like to say anything more to introduce the piece, but I think we'll hand over to you, and I think maybe a welcome for Elena.
Thank you very much for this wonderful introduction. It was a great pleasure to write this piece because being here and the first time when I visited to do kind of research for this piece, it was very amazing. I was so impressed by a variety of objects and by the history, and it was just amazing. The whole building, everything amazed me. So coming back home and thinking what am I going to actually write a piece about was very hard because there was a lot of choice. And for some reason, I got very attracted to this love token because it represented everything, romance, loneliness, memory, something sentimental. Obviously love is part of romance. So that was very important to me. And somehow it inspired me to write this piece, this one movement. What I have to say is, of course, it was written for orchestra, this piece. So now I will try to compact it into a piece of music for the piano, so it's quite different. The very beginning of the piece is what you described, it's like stenciling the words into the coin, and the sound I imagined, of course it's not exactly what it was, the sound, how it actually sounded, I'm sure, but somehow representing for me the impression of that sound was a xylophone doing something like this. So I would like to ask one of you to do this. Is it possible? Because it's an orchestra piece, it has a lot of layers. And it's hard for me to... I don't have only two hands. I don't have three hands. One of them has to do this, and the other does something else, and then the other does something else. So if anybody would do that, it would be great. If somebody feels good about doing it, but it will have to be standing up. Is that right? So all you have to do... And only when I say stop, you stop. And when I say again, it happens at the beginning. Are you going to be comfortable?
Yeah, sure.
You sure? Okay, so basically all you have to do is this. It still would be great. That's just great. Just make it comfortable.
Terrific.
Great. I'm very pleased that you do this. Oh, great. And you do... So when I say stop, I'll just do this, something like that. You'll stop. And then at the end, it comes again. Okay. I'll tell you. Thank you. Exactly, exactly. I can do it with you at first. I'll do it with you. We'll do it together, and then we start. Basically, I do it for 4 bars, and then I go off, and you continue. So, 3, 4. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Elena. Now, we do have a little bit of time for some questions, either relating to this piece or perhaps more generally to the composition. So does anybody have any questions they would like to ask?
I was surprised.
Sorry, we'll just wait for the... yes. It's all performance here.
I was surprised that the music sounded very happy, whereas to me, being deported to Australia is a very eerie and... Yeah. Horrifying thought to me.
I always think of escape in the thoughts. So when you're actually doing it, first of all, it's probably mischievous as well, as we know, taking away the, as you say, it's a felony, taking away the design of the coin. It's both. I, being an optimistic person, try not to dwell on the tragedy of it rather than the... Hope, it's more hopeful. My piece, I prefer to think in hopeful terms rather than tragedy. Yeah, I know. That's maybe a criticism, and I understand that, absolutely. And it's, I mean, it is a... No. But I can see that, because when you write a piece of music, you have lots of sides to a story, and you pick one particular side. Of course, I could have gone a completely different way, absolutely. But somehow it inspired me more to something happy, because I think when you think about loved one and you do that, you stencil your thoughts of love, I think you try to represent, to send a person a message of hope and optimism and playfulness, because I think love is also playful. I don't know. I think that's kind of one side of it. And I tried to put romance as well into it. It's a thought. It's a very interesting thought. Thank you.
I didn't mean it as...
No. But a composer does self-talk a lot. I do constantly reevaluate my own work and constantly think, is it... Did I say the right thing? Was it really right? Maybe it was not quite. Maybe it was one-sided. I don't know.
No, it sounded like an expression of love and uplifting.
And mind you, also... No, but also in the when it's with the orchestra, you have a different colour, and it's not maybe as happy as this. I mean, it's still quite fast. It's still that is originally so. And it's overall... Funny, it's actually very rare that I write a piece in the major key. It's actually one of the very few. It's probably one of my 5 pieces, and I've written about 300 that's in the major key. And it's a really interesting. I like to look at things opposite to what you expect, but that's kind of my way of writing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I think there's a question down the back. So interesting you say that, Elena, because what I'm always struck by some of the messages on these tokens is actually that people are essentially anticipating that, you know, asking someone to wait for them. You know, it says like, you know, yeah, I'm going to be gone for about, 10 years, but, can you wait for me, basically, until I get back, which I always think is incredibly optimistic.
Yeah.
It's a question down the back.
Elena, you're probably an honorary Canberran. The ACT government recently, in its budget, offered, I think, a $1 million prize for an orchestral... symphonic work. Would you consider entering? Have you heard about it? Would you consider it?
Is it really true? I have not heard of it.
No. It is true, and it was, I believe, announced in the budget.
I'm sure that, it can't be. No one, I think there's not a composer in the world who's ever received that much money for anything.
Well,
No. It usually goes towards orchestra itself. I'm sure. I don't know. I have no idea. But I would... I get commissions, and if the project is interesting for me, I never look at the money first. I mean, the money comes always towards the end, and I usually say to my agent, you deal with it, because I actually don't really like to talk about it so much. I always think the work itself is already pretty great, but, you know, that is my profession, and that is what I do for a living. So somehow it all kind of works out. But, of course, a piece about Canberra would be great, yes. If somebody approached me, I'll consider if it's, but it hasn't happened. But it's an interesting news. I haven't heard this.
We'll it's to celebrate the centenary of Canberra, I believe.
Okay, thank you.
We've just got a question down the front with our stippler. One down the back. Let's go down the back first and then down the front.
Elena, what you said about in the first, then there's different sides to I lost contact with the loved one for over 20 years, and they got one side, and then they finally got my side. And I said, there's two sides to every story. And I found it very interesting the way you phrased it, because then they replied very maturely. They said, in their opinion, there was actually three sides, because you get both opinions, and then the person makes up their own mind. I hope that makes sense.
That makes sense, yes, yes. It's true. I would say to composing a piece of music, there is always three, composer, performer, again, it's both me here, but then the listener, that's the third. That's what makes a piece of music. And then the opinions can change according to how everybody listens. Sometimes when I'm listening together with you, I listen differently. You know, I think differently, and somehow it changes your mind. I play differently here than I would be in a concert hall or at home. So it also the place changes you. So that's actually the fourth dimension. It makes a big difference. Makes up your mind. I mean, you're looking at this, and maybe now I would maybe think also maybe differently, you know. It's interesting, yeah. But it depends really what's on the coin. It really does, no?
It's interesting, yeah. So different. Yeah. One more question, and then we might...
Elena, it's you've got this in mind... And how do you start? Do you write? Do you think of a theme, and start embroidering on that, and then developing that, or how do you start?
I improvise a lot, but actually, this particular piece did start like that. It actually started like that. I thought, how do I represent the stenciling, and what comes after? I could have done the piece obviously like this.
Yeah.
Could have been, but that is more common. That would have been more common for some reason. I don't know. It didn't feel right to do it, so I made it in the major key. But this is how I started, and then the chords came on. And then it takes a few days, you know, till you have different elements. I like to work in like a puzzle. I like to have a few ideas, and I number them. I say A or A, B, C, D or something, and I say, I would like to, after A, maybe E will come, and, you know, so I put it together, and then I kind of juggle it. And with the orchestra, you have colors, so you can repeat something, but with a different color or a different register, and you can, and also I build it up in the orchestral version where it's very little at first, and then it builds up and builds up and builds up. It gets bigger, and then it pulls back again. It's actually pulled back quite a lot, so it's actually quite sad when it goes. So it's actually quite sad towards the end. So it has different... I believe we're all very complex people, and emotions are complex. Pieces are not so as simple as they look or as they appear at first.
And it would be a lower sound than the cello or the bass or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't have much brass, but I had a little bit, but more like mellow sounding. Mostly strings. It was mostly strings and piano and percussion.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful.
Pleasure.
Well, now we're going to go on a little trek, a little journey. The second half of the program is in the gallery, First Australians.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.